Those who can, do. Those who cannot, do it on the internet. FancyPantsGangsters.com.
From the Blogulator.com.
This is Blogulator Radio.
Skewering and fawning over all things television for the Fancy Pants Gangsters Netcast Network. I'm Bridget.
I'm Qualler.
And our opinions are valid. We have two very special guests with us.
Yes, we do. We have Kerry Reisler from the AV Club.
And, hi, Kerry.
Hi. And we have Chris Castro, who contributes to the Blogulator as well.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
We're off to a good, natural.
Totally awesome start, as we usually do.
I'm having a good time.
As usually. We have these two special guests on because we're here to talk about The Vampire Diaries.
Yeah.
Which we did. We talked about it this past summer after Bridget and I had finally caught up with the end of season 3.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're watching it live.
I know. It's a totally amazing, different experience.
It is it's a much more like slow burn experience.
I think this season is also slower burn anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, we have we're here to discuss that. Kerry writes about The Vampire Diaries every week on theavclub.com. So I guess you guys, first of all of you, what are your general thoughts on how are you liking this season so far?
I think Chris should go first. I think I should go last.
Okay.
Well,
I think the season started off really, really well, I thought. And, well, some things did. I remember when we last podcasted. Is that the word? Podcasted?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, the last time we did that, we were talking about things that we were excited about the new season because so many things happened in that last episode. And one of the things I was interested in was seeing how Tyler, or the actor playing Tyler, would be because Klaus had possessed him, like how he was going to pull that off and how that would be. And mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be interesting to see him toy with everybody, like, but unfortunately it only lasted like an episode, and then the mm-hmm. original actor, Joseph Morgan, returned to play Klaus, so it was really weird, because I thought they were going to extend that a little bit, have some fun with it, but it only lasted like one episode. So
that reminds me that I totally forgot that was
too,
a thing
until just
so
now.
Then like when we started watching the fourth season, I was like, oh, why is he Klaus? So I'm glad you reminded me of that, because that was, but yeah, I was excited about that, and then I think it's kind of like Joseph Morgan is so good as Klaus that you don't want him to not be on the show.
Yeah.
For too long.
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say that.
Maybe.
It probably made sense that they did that, though, because Bonnie knew about it, and Bonnie probably would have told everybody. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Of course she would have.
But still, they could, like, ship her
Bonnie.
Off somewhere for, like, a
you
few
guys,
episodes.
You guys, it's actually possession of me.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. It seems like this season, I think it might just be for me, like, watching it week by week rather than all in, like, a span of a couple weeks, but it seems like more characters are like not appearing in certain episodes. Like Kerry, you mentioned in this week's review that maybe Matt and Jeremy were like either having a pillow fight or spotting each other in the gym. Like, but
they were definitely spotting each other in the gym.
Yeah.
And I would have watched that.
That could have been a good side plot, I think.
Yeah. Because who do you think could, like, bench more?
Jeremy.
Mm.
Probably Jeremy now.
Well, Jeremy now, because he's
definitely,
the hunter,
yeah.
Right? Yeah, but what about, but, like, pre-hunter things? Do you think still Jeremy?
Matt, definitely.
Matt?
Yeah. Now, I feel like Jeremy is kind of coming into his own.
Yeah.
In, like,
I like evil Jeremy. Oh, in weightlifting,
no,
sure. Yeah.
And hunting.
Yeah.
You know, whatever.
And I feel like, are they just, like, dressing him differently, or did he do some serious working out, like, in between seasons. Mm. Anyone else notice that?
He's bigger than he was before, because I saw a picture from an upcoming episode, and he was wearing a tank top or something, and I was like, whoa, he looks...
Like,
it was making it comfortable.
Yeah. Well, he's what, like a junior in high school now? So it's important that they represent him accurately.
Right.
Because I remember between my sophomore and junior year of high school, I really put on about 40 pounds of muscle.
Right. Right? Pure muscle. Yeah. Well, we all did.
We all did.
It's a thing that you do.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
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 Bridget, what are your thoughts?
I'm liking this season so far for the following reason. So the things that I like so far is I like Elena so much more as a vampire than as a human, but I was never like an Elena fan. So I think she's getting more and more interesting. I hate the stupid sire bond thing. That makes me angry. So that I don't like. Elena and Damon together in general, I like a lot because I like Damon way better than Stefan, AKA Brandon Walsh is a vampire. Sorry, but I'm such a good guy. No, I guess in general I'm liking it a lot, but I also feel so invested in Vampire Diaries at this point in my life. A cat's trying to get in here. That
cat was saying
he heard me making fun of Stefan and he got really mad. Sorry. I don't know. I like it a lot so far. It's also a weird experience watching it week to week, especially how we ended our viewing of the third season. Because I feel like we watched so many episodes and they were such action packed, crazy twists and turn episodes. And they all like for us happened right in a row that now it does feel
strange
and slow watching it. Cause when it's like, there seems like there's less stuff happening, but also that, or at least it's a slower build. But also it just feels weird watching it week to week, but so far I'm liking it more than I'm not liking it. And the stuff that I'm not liking, I still want to watch and see what happens.
Yeah, so. I think like from a replay value, I would be interested to talk to people later on who watch this season in a binge to see like if it plays better that way. Because I think like the third season for me watching it that way, it was almost like too much.
Yeah,
too much like too many things. Too many.
It was hard
like,
for me to remember
plots
everything
going that happened. That I think this season's kind of more patient approach hopefully will pay off.
I thought that you were playing footsie with some really intense like footsie with me under the table, but it was the cat.
Oh yeah. You know,
I guess we're not still in love.
How is our sire bond doing?
I don't know. Great.
I think like you, Bridget, you alluded to the sire bond and I was with you at the end of the last episode and with you, Carrie, too. And talking about in your review of the last episode, talking about the sire bond was something troubling when it was first introduced. And yeah, to me, like it kind of, at the end of the last episode, it felt like it was kind of undoing, it was kind of like cheapening Elena and Damon's burgeoning romance. And it felt like, oh, well, this is only happening because the sire bond. And she should be with Stefan. And I felt like, but then this last episode, I feel a lot better about it because it did kind of explore, like, obviously it kind of went through the mechanics of the sire bond and like why it happens and how it happens. And that scene between Tyler and Caroline, was it Tyler and Elena, where it was basically Tyler explaining to the audience and to us like, well, actually, it only develops. Was he the one who said like it only develops if you have feelings for each other?
No,
before?
He said.
He
said it doesn't change the way you feel because he was saying. I still hated Klaus. So yeah. I feel I liked where they were going with that sire bond thing, but I don't like that. So if I were a character in the show, which I often imagine I am.
Right.
I am a hybrid witch.
Okay.
Zombie, but a kind zombie who doesn't have to. But anyway, So if I were a character in the show, then I'd want to more like vehemently point out like, see, her feelings have nothing to do with the sire bond.
Right.
Like, so that doesn't cheapen the relationship. So it seemed like that was like brought up, but then nobody really paid attention to it except Damon kind of, but he was too busy like in his state of self-loathing to really follow through with it. I don't know.
And the very last scene of this last episode, I thought brought it home to me in a way that I thought that was a good scene where it was kind of Damon going back to his kind of angsty, like, nobody loves me because I'm bad, and like kind of feeling self-loathy, and like Elena being like, no, I'm still into you, basically. I thought that was a good touch. And speaking of zombies, zombies are going to be on the show later, hopefully.
Well, yeah, really? Or something. What? Well, I don't think that...
Is it?
I didn't immediately go to zombies the way Crawler did when they talked about contacting
the
dead.
Experience and...
Expression,
I mean.
Yeah, Qualler thought that obviously meant zombies are coming.
Well, The Walking Dead is popular.
Yeah, I thought so too. Because we've already dealt with ghosts and dead people, and none of them have been zombies.
I
don't know.
Think of the episode of Supernatural, Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things. That's the first thing I thought of. It's going to be like that, I think. It's going to be like people brought back from the dead, but they're not right. That's what I think.
Yeah. Like Pet Cemetery?
Now that I think about it, maybe the Professor Creepy is gonna. Maybe that's his whole plan with the with the hybrids. Yeah.
He wants to bring back. This is my theory. I think he wants to bring back some girl that he loves. That's my theory because I don't understand why else he'd want to do it. Yeah. He's gonna bring back someone super evil, and he's like, you know, like he's like a big bad who wants to bring evil upon the earth, like a Buffy style thing.
Yeah.
That or he wants to bring back someone that he loves. Those are the only two things that.
Yeah. I hope it's to somebody that he loves. But then, of course, it also leads to a greater, huge, horrible evil being released on the earth, because that's where that always goes, once we, as Pet Cemetery, again, so rightfully taught us.
That would be really different, I think, for Vampire Diaries, because they don't do plots like Buffy did, where it's, like, going to affect everyone. Every big bad completely affects the group only, which I think is interesting.
Well, wasn't Klaus originally, like, the threat of Klaus had to do with, like, everyone was
they
it didn't they try to kind
build
of
this hybrid army but they were really vague about what that meant
and it never really I mean he did Elena. And the
Oh
fucking Elena just
and the citizens of Mystic Falls kind of
which like I get that it's their hometown but
it's not the center of the universe
maybe move I don't know. Do you think that's why they have to do that dreadful opening? Like, that they're on some level, like, addressing, like, all the audience that at this point are like, why are you still in this godforsaken town?
So do I.
Yeah.
Yeah. it really, the opening really reminds me of the Muppet Babies theme song.
I don't understand why that either.
Well,
is that why you've been singing Muppet Babies at home?
Yeah, because in the extended version of the Muppet Babies theme song.
Oh, God.
From the director's
guy. Kermit talks about, Kermit
it's great
is
to
like,
watch with
I
commentary.
Like adventure. Piggy's like, I like romance. They all like, each character like says what they like and do. Which, like, reminds, like, so when Elena's like, I'm a vampire, and Tyler's like, I'm a hybrid, it's just...
And witches.
It's pretty,
and it's
pretty terrible.
Shut up, Bonnie, don't you...
Right. But it does make the comparison, like, when our DVR does the intro for Beauty and the Beast afterwards, like, it makes that seem a lot worse in comparison still.
Oh, yeah.
Even though, like, the Vampire Diaries intro is pretty bad, like, the... Beauty and the Beast one is just like hilariously.
So every single week we catch the like first 2 minutes of like, the Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
And that's pretty.
It's like, yep, premise is still terrible.
Yeah. So we read your review aloud, or Qualler read it aloud to me before coming here because I don't know how to read yet.
It's the only way that you'll read things, apparently.
That was before bed.
No, I made it through so much school. Yeah.
Yeah.
But. You want to talk about that?
I don't know what I think about this season right now. I think that they are having... I had a really big problem with most of the second half of the last season. I didn't like the originals, and I thought that that was just boring, and I was just not a big fan of the most of season three. I loved the first half of season three, and I kind of hated the second half. So I actually like this season better, but I don't think that it's actually technically a better season. I personally like it better. But I think that they're making a lot of really big mistakes when it comes to how they're telling this story. And I guess it's just what they did is this has always been a show where it's been plot in the like plot was the most important thing. And then the character stuff was around the edges. And that really worked for them. This season, they're doing the exact opposite where all of the love, the triangle is in the front. And all the plot, which I think they're doing really well on actually, is in the background. Mm-hmm. And I think that the balance, it just doesn't feel right. And I think that's why they're making, that's why the Cyberbond thing feels wrong. There's too much of it. So, like, you have time to sit and, like, analyze every single little bit of how this affects the characters. And before, you didn't have time to do that because it was always just, like, plot, 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 plot. Oh, look at these cute little character things, and it kind of worked together better. Now you get time to sit down and you go, wait a minute. Like, I've been thinking about the Cyberbond thing. Even though Elena is not forced to love him through the Cyberbond, it doesn't, to me, it doesn't make a difference. They're too intertwined for that relationship to ever feel as equal to her relationship with Stefan. Now, personally, I like Elena and Stefan better. Just because they're my two favorite characters. I know Brittany and Stefan, but I love Stefan. But I thought I think that Stefan and, I mean, Damon and Elena have great chemistry. And last season, when they had that thing in the hotel, I thought that was a great episode. And this, the way they brought them together this time, feels like every time they get a moment, it's never allowed to be legitimate because it's always intercut with Caroline and Stefan talking about how their moment is so wrong.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, if I'm a Damon and Elena fan, I'm pissed because every time I get this nice moment with my favorite couple, there's something in the background saying this moment is wrong. This moment shouldn't be happening. This moment isn't legitimate. And to me, that's disrespectful to the characters. To me.
I agree with that as a Damon Elena fan. I think that really I think that does hit on, and just as a Damon fan in general, I think that does hit on why it's made me so angry and made me dislike Caroline this semester. Oh my gosh. That is how my world this season. Because I love Caroline. She's one of my favorite characters in general. But, like, it also feels, even though I know how Caroline feels about Damon and Stefan, it's something about her constant, the way that she's reacting to this Damon-Elena thing feels somehow out of character for Caroline. I don't know how everyone else feels like that.
I think they're writing her a little bit strangely. I still believe that that she wouldn't say, I hate Damon because you remember when he, like, tortured and tried to kill me? Like, why hasn't she ever said
that?
Right.
They don't want the audience to remember that. That's not fair to the any of the characters.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Damon's a bad guy, but I like him anyway. It's a TV show. Who gives a shit? You know, like,
right.
I mean, TV characters are allowed to be bad and you're still allowed to like them. That's fine. So that was bugging me in the last episode that she didn't just say, because, you know, if Caroline gets with Klaus, and that's probably going to happen, Elena's going to be like, remember when he killed my aunt and almost tried to kill me and ruin my life? Like, you know, Elena's going to be allowed to say that. So why isn't Caroline allowed to say that? Damon.
Right. Oh, I hope Caroline gets with Klaus.
I do too, but it's gonna make people kind of hate her if she's still Damon sucks, and she gets with Klaus and she's not allowed to express. I hope they'll just let her recognize that it's complicated. That is... No.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like Caroline is a little bit taking on, like, the Bonnie, like, moral superiority role this season, and that's really bugging me. So it's not that Caroline shouldn't have, like you're saying, like, legitimate reasons for hating Damon or disliking different things that are happening, but the way that she's approaching it is just out of this, like, sense of, like, I don't understand why you're doing this. Like, there's no sympathy there for someone who's been involved in complicated things before. And
they've done weird things with... To set the Elena and Damon thing up, they've done weird things with all the female friendships, I think. Like, why would Elena go stay with Salvatore's? Why wouldn't she just go stay with Bonnie? Like, why? You know, like, why?
Because we needed that really hot sex
scene.
Why
when Elena was trying to transition to be... Now we know it's because of the Sire Bomb, but why when Elena was transitioning into being a vampire, why wasn't Caroline more involved in that? Like, that's her best...
Yeah. You know, like, oh, yeah.
Right.
As
somebody who recently transitioned, recently
they gave a really stupid, really brief reason for that, and I can't remember who said it but something like Caroline's too good at it, so she doesn't empathize. It's like, come on,
no, Caroline turned out too well. This is a different thing. So
I think it's a great season to talk about. I'm actually having really a lot of fun writing the reviews for it. Because in season 3, I was by the middle point, I was like, oh, if I have to write about the originals again, I'm going to stab myself in the eye. But this is actually really interesting to write about, but it is frustrating to me as a viewer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like, at the very beginning, it seemed like it was still going to be really action-packed because of the hunter being introduced. Uh-huh. And so, like, the first couple episodes, seemed like it was still kind of that plot-driven thing. And then once that got taken care of, or even before that was totally taken care of, I think you're right, it kind of switched to something else. And on the one hand, it's kind of let me, as a viewer, like, watch it with a little less stress. But on the other hand, it's not, it's not really this same kind of, it's not really stressful. I mean, so, like, I guess I could say, oh, no, I can just watch and see what happens, and that's fun. But it's not, but the stressful stuff that happened was never stressful anyway, because it's not that kind of a show. So even when the stakes were really high, it didn't, at least for me when I was watching, feel the same way, like, you feel when you're watching Homeland and the stakes are really high. Maybe because there are vampires instead of, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But
I think when they wrap up this, the actual plot arc, like the story arc with Professor Shane, I actually think it's going to turn out to be one of their better ones if they land it right. Because, like, they introduced that in the premiere, and I had no idea what was happening when those people blew each other up. But now those people are connected to what Professor Shane is doing, and the Hunter was connected to him, and he's connected to him.
Yeah.
And the Firebond, even, like, while they're researching that gets all connected back to him. It's actually, that's been told really well. I'm just more frustrated with some of the characters.
Yeah.
I think Professor Shane is interesting to watch because he doesn't immediately jump out at you as, like, a bad guy, and we still don't really know what his he does sort of nice things to people. I mean, he's obviously like,
I feel like he might have been wearing like a cape and a mustache when they introduced him.
Well, yeah, but
hello, Bunny.
Right. But, yeah,
for no reason.
But I also just, like, from a superficial level.
I'm regular.
Right. From a superficial level, I like that he reminds me of, like, nefarious professors from Dawson's Creek that have, like, romantic intentions that are bad for Joey, you know, things like that.
As someone in academia, as a professor at a university here, I really appreciate that whenever that happens, because I always like to imagine myself in that role and how, like, ridiculous it would actually be to have any of these, like to even go up to any student and, like, have even, like, the beginning of any kind of relationship, even if it doesn't play out as a romantic or creepy relationship, like, it would still be creepy. And also, like, I try to imagine any of my students actually wanting to, like, come hang out with me even a little bit. Like, for me to even, like, get them in
they
a situation.
Like,
no. No, it's like,
You're an adult.
What are you, like, 45?
You're as old as my parents.
Yeah.
Yeah, college kids, I don't know.
Ugh.
I don't know.
This generation with the texting, right?
They have been, I think there's doing as much, like, cell phone use this season as usual. Like, it's still kind of frustrating. All the characters are still, like, obviously using product placement style cell phones.
Binging.
They're not binging as much, though.
Yeah.
They're just using their
Android phones.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that as much as I do when it happens on Gossip Girl. Just because I don't feel like those characters on Gossip Girl would be using Bing or Android phones.
They would definitely not. No, they would have iPhones.
Yeah, they would have iPhones, and their iPhone cases would come from, like, J. Crew.
Right. Exactly.
Anywho.
Yeah.
Yeah. So while I'm not a professor yet, I do study these episodes that have professors being creepy in them just for future.
Mm-hmm. Just to kind of. For future reference, so you know what to do.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Do you think this will come up in an interview for me someday?
Hopefully not.
We can edit this out.
Yeah, we'll snip it. No, we won't.
I don't plan to
be
creepy.
In a lawsuit.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
So,
lawsuit.
Season 4.
So since we're talking about the Empire new Diaries. Characters, what do you guys think about Haley and, was it April?
I know what you think about April.
Oh, April's hilarious. He's my favorite new character.
Yeah, really?
She only has like two lines every episode, and all of them are about, hey, have you seen Rebecca? She was supposed to help me figure out what happened.
Yeah.
Everyone just looks at each other like,
I don't know. Sorry.
I did really like that.
I really,
She's kind of dumpy, isn't she? I mean...
This is kind of my problem because
she wouldn't miss this.
This is kind of my problem.
Yeah, but that was obviously a sympathy thing.
Yeah. I think I've been like, I tend to kind of like mentally edit out things that I find boring. So like the new characters, I honestly, like every time there's a new character, I have a trouble like figuring out which one is which. Is April the one who's the pastor's daughter?
Yeah.
Or, okay.
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I do like April too. I think it's, she's doing some interesting things, but has she gone away? Is she gonna?
I don't know. She's there.
I'm Jeremy. Yeah. Rebecca went and Whitney.
Right. I still can't find Rebecca.
I like Hank.
Oh yeah, that was a good episode.
Miss Mystic Falls episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like when they have pageants though, but just like pageants or events, mm-hmm. like town events. Those are always good.
Yeah.
And flashback. I mean, I'm not usually a huge flashback fan, but I thought this could have been a good opportunity to do a True Blood Tremé Vampire Diaries crossover this week.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They not really.
Although the actress was Tara, that was Tara's mom, the witch.
Oh, that's what we recognize. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Not
yeah.
on True Blood, but she was much, and she was kind of horrible too, but not the same.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So
the flashbacks felt very True Bloody to me. Anyone else think that?
Yeah, this week or
this week's,
just in
this week's
particular?
not in general. This week's flashbacks felt very like.
Well, True one Blood. Thing about the flashbacks that I liked in this particular episode, and I wish they would explore more, is Damon and Stefan's bro relationship and like that they're brothers. Like, I feel like there is still a lot of potential that they could mine out of that and continue to explore like their relationship. I'm always intrigued by that. So I was glad that returned at some level this week.
I want someone to do a timeline of their relationship because I swear they said when they came back to Mystic Falls, they hadn't talked in, I couldn't remember how many years. So I thought it was weird that they made up in 1942. Like I thought it was longer than that when they hadn't talked, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just remembering things incorrectly.
No, I think you're right.
They, hanging out. They said. When did Stefan hang out with Klaus?
The 20s.
Wasn't that before?
That was in the 20s.
Yeah.
They hang out. Was, yeah. I don't think Damon was there, was he?
Oh, that's right. No, he wasn't.
I don't think. Mm-mm. He was off. They made an excuse for him being off somewhere, but I don't know. Because like.
No, he was there. So, well, they didn't show him in the flashback, but he was there because they were talking about how they lived. Live with each other in that one place, and Stefan would go over to the sorority or wherever and kill all the girls, something like that.
God, I can't keep their relationship straight when they hated each other or when they didn't. I don't know. I don't know what. Are we to assume then that this like Stefan and Damon made up in the 42, but somewhere in between there and 2010 or whenever the heck this show started, 2009. That they hate each other enough where Damon came and did that horrible stuff right at the beginning of the show.
I thought that they immediately after they made up that the what's-her-face telling Damon not to go to war when he said he was going to go to war, that he then, from Stefan's point of view, just didn't show up at war. And that was Stefan. And that, so that like undid their making up.
I think that's what happened, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So then were they like at each other's throats again,
or just not speaking
then,
because
not
Damon
speaking?
Was told to stay away from Stefan.
He was going to kill Damon at the beginning of the series. Like Damon was that big of a threat. So what the hell? They've always been I feel like the flashbacks, which I love flashbacks, always kind of put what happened at the beginning of the series doesn't make sense when you look at the flashbacks of their actual relationship to me every time. I'm always like, why did he hate Damon so much at the beginning? Why was Damon so horrible at the beginning? When every flashback you see, Damon's really not that horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe they, maybe that's just a symptom of not knowing exactly where Damon's character was going to go. And just like, well, now we don't really want Damon to be that horrible because he's like too, I don't know, he's such a likable,
charismatic.
Like as an actor, like he,
right,
exactly, that it's like, well, let's make him a little bit more human, so we're going to kind of rewrite some things. And one way that they handle that is like, oh, well, maybe before it was from Stefan's point of view, and here are all the things Stefan never knew that Damon did for him. But I agree that it's kind of sloppy and, or I don't know, or at least confusing. Yeah.
In that sense, I kind of wish, like, at this point in the show, they would announce that, like, an end date in, like, 3 years, the way that Lost did, because I think at this point now there's danger that they could kind of be flailing for a while. I think there's always, like, whenever a show gets to this point and they've already kind of covered a lot of different ways the characters can work with each other, I don't know. That's just my preference, that, like, any show that's like this, that's kind of plot heavy, be building towards something. And I mean, at this point, I think this season is going along fine, but in future seasons, I feel like that might be a danger. So things like that, where, like, it's Damon and Stefan's history, they have to kind of keep exploring that relationship in a way that, when I compare it to something like Lost, when they had an end date, they were kind of able to take somebody like, what's the little Weasley guy? What's his name? Little, I forgot.
Ben?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's
Ben?
Ben, yeah. Like, they were able to start with him being, like, when he was introduced on the show, he was, like, a bad guy. But they were able to, like, and I don't know if this is a product of having an end date in mind or just having him around, they were able to kind of rewrite his history and make him a little more sympathetic.
Yeah, well, the advantage maybe that Lost had that Vampire Diaries don't is, like, they really start, like, we really start when we are introduced to characters, like, we're introduced to them in that moment in time and the history gets revealed over time. So I feel like it's easier to, like, give you a character who, like, right now in your interaction with him has been, he's a bad guy, and then cast him in a different light. Whereas, like Carrie was pointing out with, like, Damon, like, we have different histories of Damon from other characters who have interacted with him for a long, long time. So it's not like we got Ben and at the same time, like, Ben's brother who's been around as long and who can tell you, and then we have to go back later and kind of, re-examine that, like, so it's, I don't know, it's,
yeah,
it's different.
It's different. It's different.
It's different. I wonder how much longer the show could go on.
I think they're gonna make it go on as long as they want to. I don't know how well that is like that. I mean, Supernatural's on what, season 8? What the hell season is it on?
Yeah,
like,
our fact checker says yes.
Go on this long, and I kind of think it shouldn't, but
yeah.
But I think it could go at least 8 seasons. I think it will probably go like 8 seasons, unless something drastic happens. It's crazy. Yeah. That's 3.5 more seasons from now. What the heck is going to happen? That's the only real human left. Like, they don't have anybody else to turn into anything. It's weird.
That's true.
They'll have to kill everyone off and start over. Like,
I think they're
going to
have to start bringing in new characters. Which will be interesting.
Yeah.
Well, they have been doing that, but I haven't really been doing that in a very good way, I don't think.
Right. No, I agree.
Yeah.
I feel like they're already setting up Haley from the time she was introduced as, like, a plot device instead of a character, and the same thing with April.
The way they just threw off that Haley was helping the professor because of her parents, they just threw that off like in two lines last episode. It was just like, okay.
You mean her zombie parents?
I'm sure they'll come back. I'm
telling you.
I think the next 5 seasons are going to be very zombie heavy. That's my prediction.
The Walking Dead. It's a huge hit. I'm just telling you.
I feel like these people would actually be able to, like, kill all the zombies instead of being all how the Walking Dead people were all pumped for ever and ever and ever.
There'd be a parade around Mystic Falls with zombies like, no, we're not going in there.
Yeah. Oh. Exactly.
So Mystic Falls becomes like the human haven because the rest of the America is overrun by zombies and this is the only place where they're safe, but in order to get in they have to figure out how to live among vampires and hybrids and all these other
things.
They
just get turned into vampires and hybrids.
Right. And then the final 2 seasons are an extended battle between vampires and zombies.
Let's talk about this. If you're a vampire and you get bit by a zombie, do you become a vampire zombie?
Oh.
You're already a zombie. How does that work?
And what if a vampire accidentally bites a zombie? Turns him into a vampire. Yeah. I don't know how they actually accidentally do that. It seems like a problem.
I would think the vampire would be like, this tastes terrible. But like the zombie would probably be really into biting the vampires.
You think so?
Well, because like zombies want to eat anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Let's call.
Because aren't
they? Well, we'd probably learn a really complicated and like makeshift history of the original zombie family right. and what they were actually intended for. And
there'd be like a new professor coming to town and be like, "Well, you see,
I'm actually a professor of folklore and zombies.
I've been studying zombie vampire folklore for.
I went into the wrong
years.
Field. Yeah. Stupid rhetoric.
I know. No, Bridget, do you want to talk about what you think Klaus is going to be revealed as next week?
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure because it's that time of the year, and Klaus has not been around because he's been very busy off doing something else. And it would be better if he needed eight. Oh wait, no, never mind. So and he's been around for a really long time, right? So he's obviously the origin story of Santa Claus. Yeah, Santa Claus. Nicklaus, right? Saint Nicklaus.
Yeah.
So that it would, and because in a lot of cultures, Santa Claus is more of a, or was more of a scary figure, or mm-hmm. equally scary figure as benevolent figure, mm-hmm. right? So like he would also like, the bad kids got shoved into a sack and he'd take them away mm-hmm. Places. And so maybe, you know, that better watch out. You better not cry. He sees you when you're sleeping and knows when you're awake. I can imagine, you know.
I feel like Klaus does all those
right,
things.
Right, right.
In his own way.
Right. And then, of course, you know, capitalism, whatever. We turned it into something else, but yeah.
Right.
So he's the original Santa Claus. And then we can have a whole episode where everything else is kind of paused so that we can learn about Klaus and Santa Claus. And I'm imagining, like, all the characters are at the Salvador's place for some reason, and they're all snowed in so they can't leave. And like, well, what are we going to do but sit around this fireside and swap stories?
Some carols.
Yeah.
That'd be a very anticlimactic way to end the mid-season finale, I think.
I would love that.
But it would be interesting.
I would watch the shit out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would be. I don't know how it would compare to American Horror Story : Asylum's Christmas episode this past week, but...
I think it'd be great, and I think that Dr. Fraser Crane and his family would be snowed in the same town for some reason.
Sure.
Right? They would all have to...
I guess.
I wish they did more silly crossovers. No one ever does crossovers anymore.
Yeah.
Usually have to be on the same network, so I guess Arrow could come over.
I don't know. Let's think outside the box.
Because Arrow's dead in Vampire Diaries world. He's
really?
It was Brady, the horrible werewolf that was in season 2.
Oh yeah,
he's the one Todd Caroline with all the bullets.
Whoa!
How dare you?
Whoa!
I don't know if I can watch Arrow anymore.
I was so mad at him.
Gossip Girl, the Gossip Girl cast could go over.
I'll die.
Yeah, they're
great. Oh wait.
Yeah, because they're not doing anything. No. Right.
So I haven't been watching the last season of Gossip Girl at all, but I hear that Dan is possibly
that
the Gossip Girl.
To be where they're
is
going,
that true?
But I don't know. That would be the
But that seems inconsistent with earlier seasons.
This season's terrible.
I'm saddened
Vanessa's
by that.
Vanessa's not back, is she?
No, God, no.
Oh, good.
Vanessa.
What about Georgina?
Oh, yeah. She's like the
back.
Only thing that's halfway entertaining. Yeah, that they're doing this weird thing with Dan where they're saying that he doesn't want to be like these people, but he's really always been like them, so
right. Yeah.
And by not being like them, he's becoming them. It's so bad.
Sort of like Somerset Maugham.
Kind of. As someone who actually thought they rehabilitated Dan's character pretty well in the last two seasons, this season was just like, just throwing that all out the window. They're just like, he sucks, and I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, I've totally jump shipped on Gossip Girl, and I feel kind of guilty because I championed it. Like,
you really did.
I really was like hanging in there.
You were adamant about it for me. You got to watch this. And I tried watching it so much and like, I feel like it just never, nothing ever grabbed me the way I wanted it to.
It always was boring.
Yeah.
But I liked it.
Yeah.
But it just got, Serena. It just, yeah, I don't know. nice, man.
Blair, blah, blah,
Blair,
blah.
Blair, yeah, not. Oh, and the rest. Blair,
right.
And the rest.
So.
Nashville. Oh, yeah. How about that?
I thought we were talking about Vampire Diaries.
I know. I'm just kind of jumping all over the place.
How are we for time? Has it been 7 hours yet?
No, you're at about 40 minutes.
Oh, this is a 7 hour special, right?
If that's what you want, then that's.
Yeah.
It's a Christmas fundraiser marathon.
Yeah. The phone lines are still open.
Yeah. Anybody want to call in?
Anyone.
Anyone.
Yeah. We can sing a carol while we wait for the phones to ring.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Mm.
Chris, will you start?
No, I won't. Oh.
I'd like to see at least the cast of Vampire Diaries do a little Christmas caroling something, led by Caroline. Right? No? No one else?
Wait, yeah, she can sing. That would be good.
Yeah.
She's
she's like a Canadian pop star or something, right?
Come on.
Graham?
Is she Canadian?
Pat Graham can sing, huh? Too.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
She has a couple singles like or something. That. I don't know.
She can dance too, right?
Really?
I think so. She was in Honey too.
That's right. Oh, wow. That's where I've seen her.
She was also
what?
A dancer girl.
What do you mean?
I've never seen Honey too. I don't watch Honey too.
That's worse than an affair.
That's kind of an emotional affair.
Yeah.
If you will.
That means I get one hall pass.
Right. Exactly.
To watch something really horrible.
Yeah.
I'll choose
Real Housewives of Miami.
Shut your mouth.
Our dog was watching that by herself this morning.
That's actually true.
Yeah.
She looked sad too.
She did. It's like, I guess I'm watching Real Housewives of Miami as a dog.
So I could turn the
channel. Yeah. Exactly.
What else do we want to say? What are you guys hoping happens in the next episode in terms of like things that get revealed and things that kind of.
They're billing it as the mid-season finale.
Right.
So that usually means something sort of big will happen.
I just want them to resolve this Damon and Elena thing so people can stop talking about rape in my comments section.
Talking about what?
Mind rape.
Yeah, it's like this whole Damon and Elena thing is causing consent issues because it does cause consent issues. And so, like, I love the discussion, but I would rather talk about other things. Hoping that they somehow find a way to make the Damon and Elena thing totally work and all of our fears go away. I'm skeptical, but that's what I'm hoping.
That would be a Christmas miracle.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's never going to be happy because there's, you know, two shipper wars or whatever, and that's fine. But at least it's well done. That's what I'm hoping.
The three of them could come together in like a polyamorous relationship.
That would be perfectly fine with me, but you know people would freak out, so.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they're brothers. Right. That would actually be
kind of weird, I guess.
That would actually be like the perfect solution, but I'm afraid that like just the way that the show is written in kind of subtly like moralizing the characters in a way, I don't know that they would go there because I feel like that would be like too out there.
I think they would never go there because it's on the CW for one thing.
They don't
even
have any gay characters, but, let alone a polyamorous relationship. So
yeah,
right. Yeah.
I know. I really thought Jeremy, but
maybe Jeremy will come out.
As it turns out,
maybe that would.
Yeah, and everyone will be happy about it, but then it'll turn out that it's just
a vampire slayer now.
Of the, right, yeah. Right. Or that it's like, that's a side effect of becoming a hunter. So don't worry, we all have a cure.
The cure. We haven't talked. Yeah.
Cure for vampire.
I'm glad
vampirism.
That they haven't, they've kind of dropped that, but I'm really afraid that that's going to come back. And they're going to cure Elena.
I think there could be a really cool idea that they could do with this. What if it backfires and Damon, instead of Stefan and Elena becoming human, which I think that's what they both want to do, it's Damon and Catherine.
Ooh.
If Catherine was human, that could be
interesting.
I feel like if Catherine was human, she would just want to be a vampire again and would try to get someone to turn her, but
they're trying not to let it happen.
Mm. Yeah, like I see, like in some bizarre twist. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it feels like something that could be a good like final episode gotcha, like huge twist of somebody getting turned back in a way that you don't want it to happen.
Yeah. It's definitely coming back, though. There's no way they're going to sit on something that big and not...
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
I would really like to see Bonnie as, maybe not in the next episode, but, like, in this season, like, develop some agency, just a little tiny bit.
Well, I don't know, because she doesn't even have agency in her own storyline right now at all. She's totally confused by this guy. He's, like, witch-roofing her and, like, forcing her to do this magic that she doesn't even understand, so...
Mm-hmm. And she says no problem with
it. It's nice to see her happy. She's happy about the wrong thing.
Yeah, but I just feel like she's just like constantly like making poor judgments about people and like getting duped and then getting used. And
someone
like
called her a human plot point, and that's exactly what she's a human plot point.
Yeah, it's frustrating too because she's a witch. Right. So like, do some stuff.
Right.
I saw this hilarious thing on Tumblr that was like Paul Wesley did an interview. I think it looked like it was at a Vampire Diaries convention, and he said something like, "If you have a problem, if you find yourself in a jam, no, don't worry, we just can call Bonnie." And that was just like so cute. That's exactly what showed up.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's just on the side, and they have a problem, and they call her, and she comes and fixes it, and then she goes back to the side, and it's just a problem.
Right. Yeah.
Poor Bonnie. Although she's kind of playing, I mean, she kind of does it to herself a little bit.
We have to hate Bonnie because she's annoying, but it's not really her fault. It's the writer's fault.
Yeah.
But she's annoying.
Well, okay, but if we're going to remove ourselves from each of the characters like that.
Well, that's true.
It gets difficult for me to, you know.
The magic of television.
Magic just disappears.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. When you realize it's all just, it's not real. Pretend.
Yeah. Except for the Housewives. Because real is right in that title.
That's true.
So
none of that is scripted.
What, does Andy Cohen lie to me?
I don't think he
the most
lie.
Wonderful man on earth?
No.
My personal
he
hero.
He better not.
When is he going to be featured on CNN's Heroes?
I don't know. Probably never.
I wonder if they've been getting my letters.
Doesn't seem like it.
You know, Carrie, the issue of consent is an interesting one. Like, to think about with... And I think that that's always strange, especially when it comes up in... relation to a show about vampires, and there's always something that'll happen so the Damon Elena thing specifically will trigger things about consent and rape, but I mean all along part of what vampires do is hypnotize people and then like feed on them and have sex with them.
The main debate in the comment section right now is mostly with Caroline and Damon and if that was rape or not, which I think it was, but a lot of people, so it's been a big it's like, that's basically the argument that's going, is the consent. Because, I mean, Damon, she had sex with him before this, but he, like, compelled her to not be scared of him. So if you compel someone to not be scared of you, basically anything that happens to you in that relationship afterwards is unconsensual.
Right. Yeah, I would agree with that it is rape. But also, I think it's interesting, like, it's... interesting, like, how, like, at what point to get upset about it as a fan, or what's offensive or what's not offensive, because such a big part of, like, the vampire thing in general seems to have to do with that kind of stuff. Like, so vampires are, like, a problematic, scary, horrible character. Right? Because that's part of what they do. So it's weird now in the time when, like, all these vampires are also becoming written in sympathetic ways, like, with Vampire Diaries and True Blood and Twilight and, like... And it's like what to do with that part of the vampire.
I think that the show gets in trouble. I'm okay with them being bad guys and doing bad things. I think the show gets in trouble because it doesn't understand its own morality at all. Like it doesn't think that those things are bad. Like if it presented those things as bad equally to every character doing them, I think it would be fine. But like they're like, well, what Damon did there was terrible. But when like Caroline and Stefan do it, oh, it's fine. Like that. Like, earlier this season, Stefan, like, they were sitting at a table with April and Rebecca, and Stefan went to talk to Rebecca, and he compelled April to forget the entire conversation. He could have said, April, I want to talk to Rebecca. Why don't you go stand at the bar for a little while? Like, you know,
it actually
offended me a little more than some of the other instances, because there was no reason for it. Like, he just totally mind-wiped her for no reason, and the show was just like, sure, that's fine.
Right. I think that's maybe behind the why I'm like Team Damon and I don't like Stefan is not really like maybe has less to do with them as characters and more the way that they seem to be presented and seem to think about themselves over and over as Stefan being the good guy and Damon being the bad guy, even though they've sort of dealt a little bit with, like, well, or had the whole big thing where, but Stefan was the Ripper. It seems like it still keeps having to come back that, like, Stefan is essentially, like, moral and Damon is essentially immoral or amoral. And that, like, frustrates me whenever Stefan does these things that I'm like, but he's just as bad as Damon. And in some ways, I think Damon is maybe even more of a moral, has more of a moral center because he at least recognizes his own, I don't know.
Well, and that's an angle, like a plot point that getting back to Damon feeling angsty about that, what they kind of talk about where, or what they get at, that he's like the amoral one. Like, when Damon is actually addressing that and feeling like angsty about it, and other people are telling him, like, or, you know, like when Elena is telling him that I still love you because of what you're, even though you feel this internal conflict, I feel like that's a way that they could get around that, kind of how the show started, where Damon is the bad one and Stefan's the good one.
Except we have the stupid sire bond thing, right, which, like, undoes all, so we don't know if any of that is really Elena talking or if that's all, like,
so that's I wish the writers would go there more and make it a little more gray rather than, you know, I never got the feeling, even last season when Stefan was doing bad stuff, that Stefan was a bad guy. Mm-hmm. It was purely like, he's doing this because he is being controlled by Klaus, and it has nothing to do with him doing bad things. Whereas when Damon does bad things, it's because he's bad. He's just a bad guy.
Yeah.
I think one thing the show could do to, like, help it is Elena did, like, they've, like, as, like, casual mention, they're like, oh, well, this never would have worked if Elena didn't love Damon when she got turned with his blood.
Yeah.
But they, like, mention it and then, like, throw it away. Like, they need to remember the whole back half of season 3 was her, like kind of falling in love with him. And they feel like they're muddying it up with the sire bond. I don't know. It's just, it's muddy is my problem.
Yeah.
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 I agree.
It's true. I agree.
Agreed. We're all in agreement.
Agreed. All agree.
Good. So who do you think would win if it came down to a horrible fight between Caroline and Elena?
I think Elena would win right now. I feel like she's really being a badass.
I still think Caroline would win.
Yeah. Caroline's like a
Elena couldn't, I guess Elena couldn't even hug her because Caroline was pinning her arm down.
That's true. That's I like that a
That's
lot.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
I hope they turn Bonnie into a vampire.
Vampire witch.
Yeah.
She'd be the worst.
Think how powerful. Yeah.
Yeah. You guys, I want blood now.
Grams.
I love Jeremy for some reason.
Yeah, whatever happened to that?
Yeah, just...
She was jealous of a ghost.
I think the one thing I'm looking forward to the most is Tyler's story and where that's going to go. I loved him in that last episode.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he really came into his own.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he's never been an interesting character to me, really, unless he had a shirt off. So this is a very good development for me to actually give a call about him.
Yeah. Some handsome fellows on this show.
Indeed. Yes. Indeed.
Some handsome fellows.
Indeed.
Qualler noticed Damon's arms when we were watching this most recent episode.
I never realized, like, the black t-shirt he was wearing. I was like, wow.
Yeah, I know.
Pretty nice arms, Damon.
I never noticed him. I never gave him a second thought when he was on Lost.
That's because his character was so bad.
Terrible. Yeah.
It was terrible. Yeah.
But, like,
nobody cried when he died.
I couldn't even notice how handsome he was.
Right. I don't know.
Turns out maybe personality does have a little bit tiny thing to do with
it. I've seen Young Americans. You have to watch it on YouTube, and it's terrible quality, but it's like, it was a Dawson's Creek spinoff. Will Krutsky. Krutsky, what was his name? Krutsky, Will Krutsky. And he goes to like boarding school, Fancy Pants boarding school, and Ian Somerhalder is one of the people there, and Ian Somerhalder falls in love with a girl that's dressed up like a guy. It's amazing.
What?
Oh, wow.
Which character in Dawson's
Creek?
Remember
Will Krutsky that came in season 3 and went to the cabin, Aunt Gwen's cabin with them?
Oh yeah, and for that one episode, we acted like he was a friend we all had. That was so weird. Oh yeah, this guy.
Bosworth in it too. You have to watch it.
Huh. Interesting.
That sounds amazing.
I'll check that out.
Huh.
Ian Somerhalder was also in Tell Me You Love Me, which was really just really sad.
Oh, God, I hated that show.
The scenes, it was really uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh,
I believe it.
Yeah.
I feel like Mark and I couldn't look at each other.
Yeah.
That's the effect that...
It made our marriage worse.
Yeah. Remember we had to go into intensive counseling for a while?
Yeah, sex therapy with that
it was horrible.
Old lady who...
It was horrible.
Had her own sex problems.
Right. Doesn't everyone.
Right. I know. Right. It's too true.
Yeah.
I don't know.
4 years later, they were like, maybe stop watching that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They finally got to the root of the problem. Yeah. Stop watching your DVD of the one season of Tell Me You Love Me.
Every night before you go to bed.
Yeah.
And then again when you wake up. Yeah.
Right.
Oh my God, that's
nice. Yeah. It was horrible. I think we only watched 2 episodes, right?
I watched the whole season by myself.
Oh, that makes me sad.
Yeah. It
what?
It was
Where do you okay. do all these things? And when do you... I don't know.
When you're at school. I don't know.
I thought you went to work.
I don't actually work. That's the secret.
Oh.
Yeah. Sorry.
Wow.
I've been stealing money all this time.
Meth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good place to...
Wrap it up.
Yeah.
Are we wrapping it up?
I don't know. I don't know.
Was that...
Let's see.
Well, you can watch the first 3 seasons of Vampire Diaries on Netflix, which sponsors our show. You can go to bit.ly/blogflicks to sign up for a 2-week free membership of Netflix. After that, it's only $7.99 a month.
Mm-hmm.
You can catch up on all the first 3 seasons of that show, as well as many other shows. And going through that link provides financial support for independent netcasting like our show.
Yes. I think we should end with predictions the way John McLaughlin always makes them do on the McLaughlin group.
Okay, just right? Any prediction.
Any prediction. So predictions. Chris, go.
I think that Alaric, Ghost Alaric, will come back and be Jeremy's ghost watcher, probably.
I predict Gary, that,
go.
That prediction will make me cry a lot. And I also predict that I predict someone's gonna get cured of vampirism. I don't know who it's gonna be, but someone is going to not be a vampire anymore.
Qualler, go.
I predict Caroline will sing.
Wrong.
Wrong.
Klaus will be revealed as the original Santa Claus, and the gang will have a great time singing Christmas carols around the fire.
Now you say bye bye.
Bye bye.
We watched the McLaughlin group every week. So,
yeah.
You know what happens.
I did cry a lot, by the way. Was it the first episode when Damon went to talk to Alaric's grave?
Second episode.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I want more Central. Moments like that in this season. I haven't had enough of those.
I need more emotional release
in
general.
Wow.
Ever since Friday Night Lights went off the air, I just feel like I don't have any emotions.
Parenthood.
Yeah, we do.
I do.
He doesn't care anymore. He's got a heart made of stone. It's
That's
just me
true.
Sitting alone, holding both of the dogs,
That's
telling Beckett
true.
I love him so much, and he's such a special guy.
There hasn't been much to cry about the last few episodes of Parenthood because it's been
except for the cancer.
Well, okay, I'm talking specifically the last 2 episodes that have been a little lighter, where it's where.
What about
Christina
Luke?
Has been
Luke's
when
issues.
Christina has been smoking pot has made me laugh more than cry. Mm.
Okay.
So, but based on the preview for next week, I'm definitely going
to
be crying.
The Amber and Luke, whose name I can't bother to learn.
Yeah, he's Luke.
Luke.
We,
that stuff makes me cry because I like him so much because I like Luke, probably.
He's great.
And that actor. But also I like him in this role and I like him and Amber together and I like everything about that. And
Yeah, we totally shipped Luke and Amber before... the next week it obviously happened because it was so obviously something that needed to happen.
Yeah, it actually happened because we predicted it.
You willed it into existence.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
You're welcome, Jason Kadams.
Because we're hybrids.
Right. Thanks guys for
joining
us.
Thank you.
For having us.
Do you Do you want to give your Twitter handles and other ways to reach you guys?
Sure. You can read my writing at the TV Club at avclub.com, or you can follow me on Twitter at TV and Dinners.
Right. And you can follow me on Twitter at Sarcastro. That's with two C's. And that's it.
Sweet. And you can follow me at Mark Waller on Twitter. And you can follow Bridget at Best Bridget.
Yeah. BESTBRIGITTE. And I tweet now again, kind of. Well, I you tweeted do. Last week.
That's not enough. You have a phone, so now. Now you have to.
I know
do more.
You hashtag right. more on Facebook than you do on Twitter.
Yeah, I don't understand stuff.
Yeah, it happens.
Facebook is just easier. To something. All right, I'll start Facebook. Tweeting more.
It's the worst.
Yeah. I don't know Except, how to tweet pictures. Teach me how to do that, and then I'll tweet dog pictures all the time. Okay. That's a thing that people do, right?
Yeah. 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 And it's not obnoxious at all. I do it all the time, though, so I should talk.
I'm in a program, by the way, that emphasizes writing and technology.
Exactly. And you can follow Blogulator Radio at Blogulator Radio or The Blogulator at The Blogulator. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
This was fun.
Yeah,
thanks. Thank you very much, guys.
Yeah.
Should we all say that our opinions are valid?
At the same time?
Same time.
Yeah. Ready?
Because our opinions are valid.
That was horrible.
It was. It's hard to do on Skype. It's okay.
Okay. Ready?
Our opinions.
Wait, let's like count down or something.
Okay. One, two, three.
Our opinions are valid.
Good enough. It's good enough.
And a one and a two. No, sorry, that's it, nothing.
No, we've done it enough.
I know. I think it's feel right. like.
Thanks a lot. We'll see you next right. week.
Bye.
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 You stopped recording a while ago, right?
Still going.
All right.
Oh.